This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. We appreciate you getting up with us. We're with you till 10 a.m. this morning. My name is Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Popezaza Payne. What's up, dude?
I'm with nothing, man. Just processing this entire... Yeah, it's a new world we're living in. There's going to be a new NFL season next year, and I have to readjust. I got to readjust. I eagerly await hearing from Nick Caley himself, Nicholas Caley, the new offensive coordinator. I continue to, as I do every day, pray for the Chiefs' ultimate demise, but we won't really know until next year exactly what they look like.
I was thinking about that this morning. Usually each year... It's rare that both Super Bowl teams play at a Super Bowl caliber level the next season. That's just the NFL. You know, like it's the NFL has more variance year to year in terms of who makes the postseason, let alone the Super Bowl, than any other sport. There's almost half the teams that made the postseason this past year won't make it this year because that's just the way the NFL works. And so it would stand to reason that half the teams that play in the Super Bowl would not play to the same level. And just in going back and looking through, it's not that there's always one team that just completely bottoms out, although that does happen. But it seems like, Seth, it's never like, oh, the Eagles and the Chiefs were the two most dominant teams in their conferences this year, and they're just going to be back next year. It doesn't work that way. Like 2 years ago, these same two teams played in the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs maintained that level, although one could argue they did go backwards in the regular season and kind of turned it on in the postseason. The Eagles did go backwards and got blown out in the playoffs last year. You know, so it wasn't that either of them bottomed out, but it's tough to maintain it year to year. Could we be living in a world where the Chiefs are on the verge of maybe a significant drop-off next year? That would be delightful.
These are my advanced stats, Sean.
Okay.
Everybody try to hang with me. So... Andy Reid is 66 years old, and it's tempting to think, wow, he didn't look all that happy as he was getting destroyed by the Eagles. Maybe he's going to start thinking it's time to hang him up, or maybe he's lost his fastball because he can't keep up with people like Eagles defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, who is 66 years old.
He's a whippersnapper, yeah.
Yeah, that part of it, I could try to think, oh yeah, but, you know, Andy Reid just isn't the guy anymore, but then you realize, oh yeah, the one of the very best defensive coordinators in the league, the guy that did in Andy Reid in the Super Bowl with such success, is Vic Fangio, who's 66 years old.
Right.
So, I think the age thing has lost a little bit of its luster in terms of an argument against various coaches.
I think for the Chiefs, if I'm thinking about this, like what are the reasons they could go backwards next year? One, they got a ton of free agents. Like Brett Veach, the GM, and Andy Reid have work to do this offseason. Because they've actually, not only do they have a ton of free agents, but they've actually, it feels like they've got more things to fix than they usually do. Like they're still lacking in, I think, firepower at the skill positions. Although Xavier Worthy looks like a very good pick right now. The offensive line clearly has issues. The Eagles are very good but they clearly have issues on the offensive line. And that division's getting better. You know, like that, like the Chargers, it's going to be harder for them to win the division in the coming seasons. The Chargers with Jim Harbaugh are ascending. The Denver Broncos with Sean Payton, I think, have become a problem at least a year or two earlier than people thought they would. We'll see what happens with the Raiders. But those two teams, those were both playoff teams last year, the Raiders. Right. I'm sorry, the Chargers and the Broncos.
Right. And I think there's two things. One is that Andy Reid's a really good coach, and he's going to get a lot of whatever they have on the field. But they also, I think that they don't spend liberally. It's not, they're a pretty frugal football team. It's just that they do have to worry. They have to pay Pat Mahomes. I mean, you know, Pat Mahomes' contract by now it's starting to look a little bit dated in terms of where he ranks in QB salary. But he also hasn't been the very best regular season quarterback over the last couple seasons. So I don't know if they have to redo anything with Pat Mahomes, or maybe they restructure that a little bit. But they also, yeah, they got to figure out some way to get Pat Mahomes from getting shellacked the way he did in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The offensive line, they had their injuries, but you're going to have injuries every year. That's the really probably the biggest question mark. And they struggled to score more than 30 points this past season.
Yeah.
I think when you run up against the really good football teams, including some of the close calls they had in the playoffs, you're gonna struggle if you've got those obstacles. It is just the veteran savvy only gets you so far. I'll go back to the Astros comparison of a couple of years ago. Yeah, the Astros, they put up a really good fight in the playoffs in 2023, but you could tell that they weren't the same team.
Yeah.
They flat out weren't the same, the powerhouse, and at some point you run up against teams that either can punch it out with you or they're genuine powerhouses.
Who's the best team as of right now? I know we haven't hit free agency or the draft yet, but as of February, whatever today is, the 11th, who's the best team in the AFC right now to you? Heading into next season.
Okay, if you...
Like, who are we chasing right now? You know what I mean? Like, I get it.
I think it's still the Ravens.
They're still the scariest team to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. Like, if you did the whole, like, Vegas, put these teams on a neutral field, who's the favorite? It might still be the Bills.
Yeah.
It might be the Chiefs. Who knows? The odds came out for the Super Bowl yesterday, and the Chiefs and the Ravens were tied with each other. So there's still belief out there in the Chiefs at a high level, as it should be. I mean, it was one game. But the Ravens are still the scariest team to me.
Yeah, and they have this year they looked like they really latched onto Todd Monken's system.
Yeah,
and with the addition of Derrick Henry, obviously that makes it a little easier. I guess where are we with Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley in terms of they're old running backs? I don't feel like next year's the year that Saquon Barkley is going to fall off a cliff, and I don't think like Derrick Henry is going to fall off a cliff either. I guess the biggest concern with him would be, can you trust him with his style of play?
Yeah.
To be durable every year? Are you going to get 17 games out of Derrick Henry next season?
They're looking to extend him, is what I read yesterday in Baltimore. So they, you know, there's obviously, unless they're just doing it to open up cap space or something, but there's obviously a belief in Baltimore that he can keep doing this for a while. I'm not doubting Derrick Henry. He's built in a lab. To answer your question, Seth, if I had to pick one of the two to fall off, it would be Saquon, just because of the history of soft tissue stuff before this year. You know, like he's had an injury. This was a major outlier for him this year to play all 17 games or whatever it was.
It seems like he's genuinely happy where he is, though, too. That, you know, the day-in, day-out grind of playing for the Giants were just a hapless and lost organization.
Oh, he had his family up there at the desk with him afterwards, like his two little kids. Couldn't have been cuter. And his fiance is up there with him. He's living his best life, this guy.
That's one of the things that I kept thinking about in the second half of that Super Bowl game was, man, Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, kept his job. Like, he's sitting there. Giants fans, if they watched that game at all, must have been just so miserable having spent an offseason watching their GM talk about how dumb it would be to bring Saquon Barkley back, partly because you have to find out what you have in your quarterback in Daniel Jones. And then the team abandons Daniel Jones midway through the season, and after having let go of Saquon Barkley, who's part of a Super Bowl winning effort. I mean, it's just every single thing that could have gone wrong for Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, went wrong this season, and yet he kept his job. Every prediction he made on HBO, him basically bamboozling the owner out in front of everybody, cuckolding the owner in front of the American public, and he kept his job. Unbelievable.
They have the worst odds of any team on the odds board that came out yesterday, the Giants.
Well, they got to find out what they have in Daniel Jones.
they are plus, you know? They're plus 30,000. They are 300-1 to win the Super Bowl next year.
There's somebody in Parsippany, New Jersey that's putting down $100 on the Giants this year
to win
the Super Bowl
because
he's sick of all the haters.
Yep.
Sick of all the haters.
Think about how many bad teams there are in the NFL, and you're thought to be by far the worst, and you kept your GM and your head coach.
Right. And also, I mean, the other part of that, remember, your GM said, we have to figure out what we have in Daniel Jones, and he's saying that after he himself gave Daniel Jones an extension a couple years ago.
That's right.
It's just really unbelievable,
man. It's awesome. Yeah, it's
I feel like there's got to – some Giants fan, some industrious Giants fan has to take the Giants to court to remove the owner.
Oh, yeah.
That I think that it's the only hope they have is that they just get rid of the owner altogether.
Yeah. Texans.
Remember, I can't remember which New York owner's kids were super involved.
Woody Johnson and the Jets.
It was Woody Johnson's kids. Johnson's kids that were coming in and – giving advice to players or telling players they suck, right?
Woody Johnson was calling them to find out what the Madden scores were on certain players. Remember that?
They were
using Madden scores. And yes, the kids were also hanging out way too much around the locker room, it sounded like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it was obnoxious. Sounds like they've dialed it back a little bit. My guess is Aaron Glenn is somebody who's going into a situation where he's not going to tolerate that sort of nonsense.
Yeah, you know? If there's one thing I've learned about billionaires, it's that they totally stand by their word.
So far they have.
It's really hard for a billionaire to exercise self-discipline.
Yeah.
There's nobody in his life that's going to ultimately be like, you're full of crap. Yeah, and the billionaire can't just fire on the spot. You know?
Ironically, the people that might be able to keep Woody Johnson on the rails would be maybe his kids, you know, having a moment with them. But his kids seem to be just as bad as he is. The apple is not falling far from the tree.
They need to send the kids off to one of those hardcore, ridiculously abusive
corporal punishment. Yeah.
Where they go and it's basically like they're prisoners. Yeah,
to beat the kids.
The parents pay like $200,000 a year for it.
Their kids to take a beating. Yeah,
boot camp. They got to go to boot camp. You know what? They need to enlist in the Marines. All right.
Yeah.
That'll set them right.
Yeah, we need them defending our country. You're absolutely right. That'd be good. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're off and running on a Tuesday. Ross Tucker is going to join us. Probably Ross's final appearance for a while. But, boy, Ross was at the Super Bowl as a fan in all his Eagles garb, and he was with his family, super excited. So he'll join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Super Bowl at 7 o'clock today on the show. We got a big programming note coming up today at 9 o'clock, so make a note of that. 9 a.m. today, we've got a big Payne and Pendergast programming note coming up. And a quick mention, too, of our contest, the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. If you listen for an hour each day on the Odyssey app, you're entered to win. You can do it every day. You're entered to win a trip to Vegas with you and three of your friends to stay at Circa, to gamble at Circa, to hang out in their pool that has all the big movie screens with the games playing on it. The trip takes place during the college basketball championship tournament, and you're going to have an extra $20,000 in your pocket as well to spend while you're in Vegas. So download the Odyssey app, listen for an hour each day, and you are entered to win the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Another wide receiver hits the market. Should the Texans be in on this guy? That is next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studio, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. So the latest wide receiver to have drama feels like this is an annual thing now. Like this, the two annual things in the NFL: veteran quarterbacks that become available that wouldn't normally become available in past seasons. There's usually one or two. And now the wide receiver. There's wide receiver drama every offseason. Last year, it was mostly Brandon Ayuk last year. Ironically, this year, Seth, it's the same team, just a different wide receiver. Deebo Samuel has requested a trade per Adam Schefter. And according to the reports I saw yesterday, the team has granted him permission. I'm looking at it right here. Here's Schefter. They've granted Deebo Samuel the Niners have and his agent to find a trade partner for the wide receiver. This comes after Samuel asked San Francisco to trade him during the players' exit meetings after the season. So they did their players' exit meetings in San Francisco. They sit down with each of the players. How'd the season go? You've been in these meetings before. You know more about them than I do. But apparently in Debo's meeting, he requested a trade, and they said, cool, go find one. You do it. Yeah.
There, I mean, the 49ers last year were in a position where the feeling was, hey, all right, we've got this core of players. Some of them are aging. Some of them are injury prone. We're not quite exactly sure what we have in Brock Purdy, but he seems to be the best damn thing that we can go forward with. And they spent a bunch of money like on bringing back Brandon Ayuk. They gave Trent Williams a new contract. Trent Williams is like 53 years old, but still very good. But there was a feeling of, all right, this is the one last big splurge. Well, we've got this core, and it's boom or bust. And they ended up busting big time. And now they've got to figure out a way to pick up the pieces and move on. And it makes a lot of sense for Brandon Ayuk, who hasn't had over 1,000 seasons since, or 1,000 yards in a season since 2021.
Hang on, Debo.
Excuse me, Debo Samuel hasn't had over 1,000 yards in a season since 2021. Everybody's jumping off the sinking ship. It feels like that. Right? Not that the 49ers are going to be a horrible team or anything this year, but you can read the writing on the wall, and there's a very good chance they might not be that same team. And they're certainly not going to be able to spend once they pay Brock Purdy.
No. I mean, they're having a tough time spending right now, even with Brock Purdy on his rookie deal. I mean, they got a lot of guys that are being paid at top of market for their position. We didn't even go to the defensive side. Nick Bosa paid. Fred Warner paid, you know, like,
yeah.
Christian McCaffrey back to the offense, got an extension last year. The Ayuk ended up getting a deal that was over $30 million a year. They paid a lot of guys. Debo's an interesting one because, yeah, you asked me when we were off air, like, when do you think the last 1,000-yard season he had was? And I said, probably before this contract that he signed, because it feels like he hasn't really been that level of player. I think 2021 was that year where they really started to use him as a gimmick. You know, where he was a wide receiver, a lot of catch and run, but they put him in the backfield and use him as a running back as well. They did a lot of, so he's a unique player. He's somebody who's just body type would scare me a little bit with the conditioning and whatnot. He's
a bigger guy.
He's a little thick.
He's never been super fast, but he's really good with run after the catch and all that stuff.
Yeah.
If Bobby Slowick, if it were last year, and we've still got stars in our eyes about potentially, you know, becoming some version of the San Francisco 49ers offense. You remember way back when it was good, and I might be a little bit more titillated by it, but he's not a guy that gets me super excited. And especially, I think financially, it makes the best sense that they redo Stephon Diggs' deal. That the Texans redo Stephon Diggs' deal. If I'm gonna have an aging veteran wide receiver on the team, I would prefer that it be Stephon Diggs. A week from now, there's the Texans got to figure out what they're going to do with Stephon Diggs, and if they want to retain him, they got to try to do it this week, before his guaranteed or before his bonus
dead
triggers.
Money. Yes,
yeah. So I would prefer Stephon Diggs to Debo Samuel.
Yeah, I would too. Well, he's a devil, you know. Also, I mean, you've had him in camp. You know, he likes to practice. There's nothing to worry about with work ethic. I don't know if there's anything to worry about with work ethic with Debo. I just don't, you know, I don't follow the Niners day to day. You know who would? D'Amico Ryans would know. You know, he was in the building. Like, D'Amico, if there's a wide receiver out there that's hitting the market that he would have an opinion on, a strong opinion on, one way or the other, it would be Debo Samuel. It's funny, I like this thing where the team, it's not the first time we've seen this, where the team gives permission to the player and his agent to go find a trade partner.
Yeah.
This is sort of the soft way of telling somebody you won't trade them, because if they were to trade Debo Samuel, it would be a massive dead money cap hit. It would be a big hit for them to trade Debo. So I think rather than saying no, we're not going to trade you and make the relationship more contentious by not giving him what he wants, I think just telling him, yeah, sure, you go find a trade, and then they're not going to find one that the Niners agree to, I don't think, because of the dead money.
This is brutal to the 49ers fan base, just because this is the second year in a row now. There's going to be an offseason full of this Brandon Ayuk-type drama that there was last year, where Ayuk was allowed to go seek a trade, And he ended up becoming Goldilocks, and nothing was right or perfect for him. There were teams that wanted him. There were deals in place, ready to go. And he just sat out there and sat out there and sat out there and turned people down and ends up going back to the 49ers. And, of course, that old cautionary tale of, all right, guy misses the whole offseason, has drama during training camp, and then doesn't do much for you during the regular season.
Yeah, he got hurt. It wasn't good. The odds on where Deebo Samuel ends up going, the Texans are 13th on the odds board. That sounds about right to me, 25-1. Like a team that I would imagine there's maybe a phone call being made, you know, just to see what the deal is.
Yeah, well, how much of the 49ers is going to absorb, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I wouldn't get overly excited about it if I were your average Texans fan.
I'm with you.
But you might have a text in, 713-572-4610, if you've got any really good argument. I'm open to arguments for where I'm being an idiot about Deebo Samuel and that, no, we definitely 100% need him.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. They need a receiver for sure, and I think they're going to address it. I just don't know to have to give up anything and then absorb that contract. Then I just don't know where that stat you said about him not having 1,000-yard seasons, I think a lot of that is due he's not on the field. It's not because he can't play. He's injured all the time. The top five teams on the odds board for Deebo Samuel I think are interesting, especially at the top. I'll count down from 5-1. Number 5, New England. Number 4, Denver. Number 3, Carolina. Number 2, the Chargers. And number 1, the Washington Commanders. The Washington Commanders are the team that the Texans were last year in the offseason to everybody.
Yeah.
They were a big surprise. They drafted a quarter. They got the second best quarterback in the draft, just like perceived at least, just like the Commanders did, right? Caleb Williams goes 1. Turns out Jaden Daniels, the guy drafted 2nd, is the one everybody should have drafted, similar to CJ and Bryce Young, I think. And like the Texans last year, Washington has a ton of cap space to go spend. And a quarterback on his rookie deal, and a season where they did a lot of things, both in the regular season and the postseason, that are cause for excitement. And so you hear them now, like they're the team that Myles Garrett is literally talking about openly going to. They're the team that's number one. They're going to be number one. Like, they're going to be in the top 3 or 4 for every big name out there via trade. The Washington Commanders.
I missed that. Is Myles Garrett, he's throwing it out there flat out that he wants to go to Washington?
We played that audio last week of him on one of those shows doing the car wash on Radio Row last week. He was asked about the Commanders, and he talked about how great the Commanders are.
Right. Okay. I know he was asked about him, I guess. I didn't know you said they're the team that he wants to go to. I didn't know if that if he had singled it out or
something. I didn't say that, but if I implied that, I apologize. Yeah. Okay. He seems to like the Commanders. My overall point is the Commanders are the kind of the chic team to be doing stuff like this.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. They're that. Now, unlike the Texans from 2 years ago, because this is, as you know, this has annoyed me for a while now, that people keep talking about the 2023 Texans offense like it was a really good offense, and it wasn't. They were a middle-of-the-road offense. They just did some promising things. So going into 2024, the question was, all right, Bobby Slowik's got a good trajectory, but he's got to do a few things. For one, show that he can actually establish a run game, and he failed miserably in that regard. Whereas Washington was a genuinely potent offense this year.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they had a veteran offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury.
They were legit good. Yeah, like there feels like there's more staying power with Washington's offense this year than it turned out there was with the Texans last year, I think.
Right, and they did it, you know, they did it with Terry McLaurin and then just not a blisteringly awesome group of wide receivers.
People weighing in on the wide receiver thing. Give me Diggs and a couple rookies in the draft over Deebo. That's a text message.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that too. I like the idea of these another text message. I like the idea of Deebo adding an element to our run game along with the pass, but I would much rather retain Diggs. They're very different players, Deebo Samuel and Stephon Diggs.
Very different. Yeah, and as far as Deebo Samuel and the run game and what he provides there, I still look at it as I feel like it's a cherry on top type of thing that if you had already established a good conventional run game and you just want to add wrinkles, then I like that. I don't know, and then maybe I'm overthinking it. It just feels like there's enough other areas that you really need to focus on to be fundamentally good right now.
Yeah.
That I don't have a mood to or an appetite for gadgetry at this point. Where this Deebo Samuel's an awesome gadget to have.
We have no idea what Nick Cayley's appetite for gadgetry is. He's never called a play. You know, right. Like that's the weird thing about talking about any of these guys, especially a guy like Deebo who who has such a unique skill set is we don't know what Nick Caley is as far as putting guys in position to maximize their skills. You know, it's an unknown right now. What about Cooper Kupp? Somebody's asking. I'd be fine with Cooper Kupp being a Texan if I knew what the price was to have Cooper Kupp as a Texan.
Right, and Cooper Kupp is, hey, if we see him in free agency, then Cooper Kupp's a good idea. Right now, to take on his salary and everything, unless the Rams are willing to bite off a huge chunk of it.
And trade for him.
It doesn't make a lot of sense,
yeah.
And I don't think it makes a lot of sense for a lot of teams. Cooper Kupp, much like Deebo Samuel, hasn't actually done all that much the last few years. He got injured, and then it's been a spate of just injuries and then underwhelming performances since then. So those are two guys right now. I get very, very nervous whenever the name brand appeal starts triggering your emotions, because yeah. Cooper Kupp and Deebo Samuel, who have kind of similar sounding names,
yeah.
and cool names, and no, cool. You know, they're both really cool names.
Yeah.
They got they're fun to say, and you know them and you recognize them, and yet you got to look at guys who are in their 30s who haven't actually performed all that impressively the last couple seasons. I don't think that's what this team needs right now.
I can't believe someone is texting in the name Michael Thomas. I cannot believe somebody's texting that. He hasn't played in like 2 years, and when he plays, he gets hurt all the time.
And he's a constant headache, too.
Yes, yes.
It's drama and poor performance, but I know his name.
Yeah, right.
It's not as much fun. If I have to rank it on names that are fun to say,
yeah.
I'd say Deebo Samuel, Cooper Kupp, and then 478.
Michael Thomas. Right, yeah. Right. Too much past drama with DeAndre Hopkins. Thoughts? I don't think it's too much past drama. I think DeAndre Hopkins is not, he's a shell of what he once was. Like anybody, like DeAndre Hopkins, if we're basing it on the postseason, he's a camp body at this point. You know what I mean?
We were debating and discussing whether the over-under of 12.5 yards was good for DeAndre Hopkins.
The prop bet, yeah.
Going into a game in which Pat Mahomes was going to be throwing him the football.
Yes.
That's where DeAndre Hopkins is right now.
Yeah.
So I don't, I like, that's another one. That's name brand appeal that I don't necessarily get all that excited about. Michael Thomas last played in 2023, where he played in 10 games. He had 448 receiving yards.
When was
the year before that, he had 171 receiving yards.
What was his last good season?
Last good season was 2019. So if we want to go ahead and David Anderson this thing, and the timelines are about right there, right? Or not David Anderson, our trade piece for DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, David Johnson.
Thank you, David Johnson.
David Johnson.
Another boring name, too. That's the timelines are about right. We got people, well, nobody got excited about him other than Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien.
David Johnson?
But his last good year had been in 2016.
Yeah.
And
really
the
good.
Thought was like, hey, all we have to do is recapture this running back. Remember how often running backs have three mediocre seasons and then all of a sudden show up and are awesome
again?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would rather have DK Metcalf for a third-round pick or 2 fourth-round picks. Yeah, okay, they're not trading him for a third-round pick. Like, DK Metcalf can still play.
Michael Thomas hasn't had more than 448 yards in a season since 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, and somebody texted his name, and that's wild to me. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So people, it seems to me, Seth, if I'm just using the text page as sort of the litmus test on all this, if there's going to be a veteran wide receiver to compliment Nico Collins, people are just like, yeah, just bring Stephon Diggs
yeah,
back.
Yeah, listen. I don't want to be like some 47-year-old woman who's desperate to have a child and is at the point where like, yeah, Michael Thomas said, I'm sure, whatever, yeah, knock me up.
Yeah, exactly.
Just let's do it. Let's get this over with,
yeah,
okay?
Fine.
Let's at least pretend that we're young and we've got the whole future ahead of us here, okay?
Yeah,
we're not settling at this point in the game.
Kid's never going to have more than 171 yards receiving, though, lady.
Yeah.
Right, just so you know. All right, 713-572-4610 if you want to hit us up. That is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line that you can hit us up on right there. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. All right, up next, let's do headlines. There was a debut in the NBA last night that I wonder how the rest of the Western Conference is feeling after last night. And we got a ton of NFL headlines we didn't get to yesterday that we'll get to. Kind of light on local headlines today, but some good NFL stuff going on that we'll get to in the next segment.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. they're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. Not a lot going on locally last night. The Rockets actually, after a brutal road trip, they're off for a few days. They don't play again until tomorrow. They play Phoenix at home tomorrow, trying to build off their one-game winning streak that they started against Toronto on Sunday. The big news in the NBA last night, Seth, Luka Doncic made his Lakers debut, and he had 14 points in a 132-113 win over the Utah Jazz last night.
So he was it was kind of hit or miss. I guess literally hit or miss. He was 1-for-7 on threes.
Yeah.
So that's not the scheme. That's not anything else. He'll be fine. I don't think all of a sudden he's going to stop being able to hit three-pointers, but they look like they could create. Yeah. And that's the biggest thing is you watch, and even in the highlights, you can tell, like, okay, they can manipulate on the offensive side of the ball, and they've got a lot of options, and it's going to open things up. So it so far, so good. Anthony Davis, is he still injured?
He's for the Mavs? He's going to be out for a while. Yeah,
Just checking.
He's going to be out
for a while. I know, I'm going to ask every day just to enjoy it.
Yes, bask in it. It's so funny too, you know, and LeBron played, they both played last night. Over the weekend, they thought that we were going to get the debut of those two playing together, like on Saturday. Yeah. So ESPN moved around like all of their properties, like on ABC and ESPN. They pushed the tip-off game for like a Duke basketball game back, or they may have moved it over to ESPN too. Like ESPN went and moved like 10 things to accommodate for the Luka debut, and then he just didn't play. he didn't play till last night. So so he and LeBron seem to be getting along fine. And I was thinking about this as I was looking at this picture on ESPN of the two of them yucking it up, presumably down the stretch in a game they were winning by 20, is that LeBron has done a really good job throughout his career of making sure that he's got somebody alongside of him. Ever since his first stint with Cleveland, where it was him and the next best player was like Mo Williams. Yeah. Ever since then, LeBron has done a fantastic job of making sure there's at least one other high-level all-star playing with him. And I just think to myself, I'm like, all right, if you told me, pick one high-level all-star that has no chance of playing with LeBron. Like, if you asked me like a month ago, like that has zero chance of ever playing with LeBron, I would have said Luka Doncic. Why would anybody ever, like what, unless LeBron goes to Dallas, he's never playing alongside Luka Doncic. And here we sit looking at a picture of Doncic in a Laker uniform. Nico Harrison, you fool. Oh, God, the Western Conference should hate you right now.
When they huddled up before the opening tip, James said this to Luka Doncic. Luka, be your bleeping self.
Yeah.
Don't fit in. Fit the bleep out.
Ooh, yeah. Oh.
Doncic said after that speech was chills. So he got the chills from that. Did. And he went in and he fit the bleep out.
He did, man. He did. That's going to be a really interesting tandem to watch play out here over the rest of the season and the postseason. And by interesting, I mean terrifying. Meanwhile, over in Dallas, apparently they were just kicking people out of the arena left and right last night.
Aww.
Carrying Fire Nico signs, wearing Fire Nico t-shirts. I'm reading the article right now, Seth. They were booing Patrick Dumont, who's he's the new majority owner of the team. He was walking back down to his seats in the third quarter, raining boos down on him. Mark Cuban is getting into shouting matches with fans. You know, Cuban sits in that seat right along the baseline there that we always see him in. And eventually Cuban, when the fans were yelling at him, literally stood up and said, "Shut the F up and sit the F down," like he's cursing at them. It's Thunderdome there, man, right now. It's crazy.
I feel like buying a pro sports franchise is such a unique thing. In that I think for the vast majority of owners of sports franchises, it doesn't end up being the experience that they thought it was going to be. I think they got all these visions of, like, aside from making money, look, there's plenty of other investments they could make that yes. makes you about the same amount of money, but that are a little, like, just as safe. If you go to buy commercial real estate, you know, right. and it's just mildly leveraged commercial real estate, they'll make a fantastic return on their investment.
Yeah.
But without also being the object of scorn.
No.
So much of the time.
Think about Shad Khan. Like, Shad Khan probably gets yelled at a lot by Jacksonville fans, I would imagine, especially as Trent Baalke. Shad Khan's got to be sitting there like the first few years going, people were not this passionate about my bumpers that I made.
Right.
Don't yell at me about those.
It's an ego purchase in a lot of ways. And the vast majority of the time, you don't win a championship.
No.
And sometimes you get blamed very loudly for being the issue. Yeah. I wouldn't want it, man. I genuinely wouldn't want it.
It is guaranteed profit, though. Like, it is is guaranteed a business.
Right. What I'd say, though, is that there's plenty. The margin, the profit isn't. There's a lot of other investments that are just as safe and just as lucrative that don't come with a notoriety.
Yeah.
They buy it. A lot of times they buy it partly because of the gleam of it all.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's the main reason a lot of them do it. Yeah.
And I think, like, that's the riskiest part about all of it.
Yeah.
Hey, I can own an office building and depending on how many LLCs I separate myself from it, just basically it's an afterthought.
That's true.
But owning a sports team, there's going to be headlines written about you.
There will be headlines. Where would you sit if you were an owner of a team? Would you sit out amongst the people or would you be up in a suite?
If I were an owner of a team, which I would never ever do,
right.
I would do the Mark Cuban. I would be out there.
Baseline.
I would open myself. If I were somebody who wanted to own a team,
yeah.
I would try to be as much a man of the people as possible.
Yeah. I'd probably be in a suite just because it's easier access to the bathrooms and the food and the drink. You know?
Yeah. I'd be out in the... I'd have a little secret tunnel and everything. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I'd have a body double for sure. I mean, there's a lot of things. The image would be of me as a man of the people.
Yeah.
The reality would be that seven of the people that are sitting around me are former Navy SEALs that are on my security
detail. That's smart. Melbourne, Australia is getting an international NFL game in 2026. We didn't touch on this yesterday. It's going to be hosted by the Los Angeles Rams. Where does Melbourne stack up on the Payne and Pendergast list of places we want to go to for an NFL game?
For an NFL game, that's a dicey one. When are they going to play it? Do we know yet?
2026. Not this.
No, the actual what time in the season?
No, just the year.
Yeah. That's a big one. That's a long... I want to go to the Brazil game if the Texans are in it.
Yeah.
But that's only one or two time zones at most that I'd have to adjust to. I don't want to cross the international date line to go watch a game and then have to come back. I don't want to fly for 24 hours there, 24 hours back. Not in the middle of a football season.
I need to see you on that sleep pattern. I don't know. I just want to see how that would go. With a sleep pattern?
I'd rather own an NFL team, Sean. Yeah. One trip. Yeah.
That's
how bad it is.
Yeah.
That I'd rather have a multi-billion dollar enterprise.
I'm looking at the notes in the rundown and I'm chuckling because the sentence in here that you have is, I don't like this Melbourne one as much as ASAP Paulo. And I think you meant Sao Paulo.
Oh, yeah.
ASAP
Paulo. I got auto-corrected. ASAP Paulo. That's a great name.
It sounds like a rapper. I was going to say. Yeah. ASAP Paulo. Yeah. Kellen Moore is going to be named the Saints head coach. It sounds like I've not seen anything official yet. But apparently the Saints are being very careful about all this because kind of like Jonathan Gannon a couple years ago, Kellen Moore was busy all the way up through the Super Bowl. And if you recall, the Cardinals ended up getting dinged for tampering because HOA Florio went postal on them. And
they
had to give up a draft pick to the Eagles because of tampering. So apparently the Saints, who have a history with certain things, you know, Bounty Gate and whatnot, they're apparently being as careful as possible in courting Kellen Moore because they don't want to get Florio'd in this whole thing.
They got to be sure that all the memos line up and everything.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So Kellen Moore, at least, that's a feel-good story where it seems like so many times now a coach is hired and meanwhile his team had lost in the playoffs and you wonder, like, okay, well, how much was he, how distracted was he as he was doing interviews
Gannon,
and all that?
Yeah.
Where with Kellen Moore, he doesn't have to worry about that at all. They were just fine in the Super Bowl.
They were great. Yes, they were more than fine. This bit of audio got some run yesterday. This was Dan Orlovsky on First Take
You guys know this is the end of the season for me, certainly for RC as well. I'm taking a break, won't be on TV for a long time, but just want to say thank you to guys, Stephen A., Miles, Shannon, for a great season. Love being with you guys. I love y'all. Never know what the future holds, but I'm taking a break. I'm sure RC is as well. So just want to say thank you. Appreciate you guys so much.
We
love you, Dan. So that was Dan Orlovsky. A lot of people read into that as Orlovsky could be on his way somewhere else. It was revealed in multiple articles that he is a free agent now, media-wise. Yeah. His contract is up. He himself tweeted he's got big decisions to make coming up yesterday.
I would imagine, if I were Orlovsky, the hard part for me would be there was a little bit of a thing where Nick Wright took a shot at Orlovsky last week, and he said Nick misphrased something Orlovsky had said earlier in the year. Nick said that Dan Orlovsky says it's not his job to criticize quarterbacks. What Dan Orlovsky had actually said sometime several months ago was that it's not his job to say that quarterbacks suck.
Mm-hmm.
And Shannon Sharp took him to task for it at the time. You know, Nick Wright is taking him to task for this. And I went back and I did a deep dive into like the actual arguments. This is the difference. Dan Orlovsky wants to be in the business of criticizing quarterbacks, players, coaches, and everything, but doing it analytically, whereas much of the television sports media is in the game of creative insults.
Yes.
And like how much can you creatively insult people? Rex Ryan loves and embraces that role.
Yep.
And I wonder if Dan Orlovsky really wants to be in that world where he's kind of playing an entirely different game than the people he's arguing against.
Yeah.
And so, like, whether you think he's right or wrong on any specific opinion, I don't think he's into the creative insult game.
Well, the word is he might want to get into coaching. That was some of the rumors yesterday. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Dan's really good at his job. It's been nice having him on TV. Ross Tucker, also good on TV, radio, former player. Does good things in the media. He also joins us on Tuesdays during the season at 7 o'clock. He'll join us coming up next. Ross Tucker, stay there.